Greetings, God's beloved ones. This is lesson four of our mini-series where God is truly bringing the healing oil from heaven. I pray that you are allowing it to just saturate your entire being. And we are going to continue with lesson four. God's viewpoint is our daily bread. God's viewpoint is our daily bread. Our scripture for today is 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it reads, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Now, if we're still saying that we're devoted from Acts 2:42, we're devoted to the word of God, we're devoted to the breaking of bread, and then there's two more, okay, devoted to fellowship and to prayer. And so for lesson four, we're going to stay in the vein of the breaking of bread, again, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and the goal of today's lesson is for us to distinguish the difference of viewpoint. If it's in the word. But my viewpoint is in the word. Right? So how do I know? How do I know if I'm in me or if I'm in Christ? Okay? How do I know if I'm bringing the king forth or if I'm making the king fit into the realm that I want him to fit into, in my opinion and into my word? How do I know if I'm making the word of God fit into my opinion and back up the word, back my belief up, Or shrink the word of God into my belief, or if I'm allowing the true liberty of God's word to be and allow myself and my viewpoint to align and agree with the word of God? How do I distinguish the difference of viewpoint? And so God is saying, remember, I want to disciple you. I want to discipline you. I want to encourage you. I want to teach and train you up in righteousness. So we have to begin to ask ourselves, is my response to justify my personal belief, or is it to inquire and grow together in what God deems as righteous? How many of us know that our personal belief and opinion can be the argument and the lofty opinion that needs to be destroyed and that's being raised against the knowledge of God? How many of us know that some of our personal opinions and thought processes, it's really what we need to take captive. It's really the thought that we need to take captive so that it obeys Christ in the direction that he is trying to disciple us in, the direction that he's trying to develop us in, the direction that he's trying to mature us in. And so we are going to have to sit here at God's table and break bread with him for a moment. And really just get this understanding of how do I know the difference. If, Lord, my viewpoint, if I'm thinking it's really in your word. And so God is saying at this table, we get fed. We get fed proper nourishment. We get fed. And so I pray that today that we truly get fed in this question, this wrestling that goes in the midst of our human being, in the midst of our human nature, that presents itself in discussions, that presents itself in debates, that presents itself in social media posts, comments, and replies, that presents itself, right, within ourselves. And so the Spirit of the Lord wants us to understand that the personal opinion and belief will have a conversation going in circles yet making no progress. If any person within that setting that is at the table, wherever that table setting may be, if any person within that has a personal belief or opinion that they are justifying with the word, it's going to have the conversation going in circles yet making no progress. So we have to come to this place where we are saying, okay, that's going to be my checks and balances for myself. Okay, the Bible says we want to make sure we're at peace with one another, but we first remember approach starts within. We have to make sure that we're in the right standing and the right posture to where we're saying, is my belief in agreement with God's word, or is it in agreement with my personal opinion? Am I making God's word fit my personal opinion? Am I truly in alignment with God's word? Okay, so that's where we really have to begin to pull the layers back when we see that there's a lack of fruitfulness in the conversation or at the table setting. Okay, and we really have to begin to say, okay, God, am I allowing my personal opinion and viewpoint, although I'm justifying it with your word, am I somehow trying to gratify my flesh with the scripture? Am I somehow, you know, like we have to understand that can happen, okay? And we have to understand that God is saying we have to hold the thought captives to obey. I have to have this lofty opinion, Ray, that could be raising itself against me, truly understanding and coming into this deeper understanding of the knowledge of God in his fullness, not where I'm just trying to have him to fit. So in growing in what God deems as righteous is to approach the conversation with a teachable spirit, that I could be wrong. A humble spirit. Go back to lesson two. Okay? Am I approaching this conversation with being open to hear and be led into mind and heart renewal? No matter how firm my stance may be, is my stance in my personal opinion and viewpoint? Is my stance in my upbringing? Is my stance in what I learned growing up in church about God? It's my stance. Where is my opinion rooted? Where is my viewpoint rooted? Although I can find and pick and choose scriptures that seem to support, although I can go out and find some commentary that seems to support, we have to peel back the layers, and we'll get more into that in part B, because God is saying in this lesson we got an A, B, and a C. Okay? So take your time, because I'm going to take my time and allow the Spirit to flow as he wants to flow and allow it to truly deal with us. Deal with us, okay? Because we have to come to a place to where I'm teachable, to where I'm willing to lay my viewpoint down, to where I no longer have an opinion, but that I only say what the Father has me to say, which is only the word and will and the truth of God. Okay, so I am able to hold the thought captives. I'm able to hold the lofty opinions against that are being raised against me going in the direction of being teachable. Even if it's a hard teaching, as the disciples told Jesus, man, it's a hard teaching. What? You know what I mean? Because the hard teaching, the reason why we get that reaction is because it's rubbing against our personal opinion, our human understanding of God's word. It's rubbing against it. Okay? And so we have to be willing to be teachable so that we can truly get fed from the Father. After all, whatever table we sit from and whatever setting it is, our home, our work environments, our cars, our family settings, the holiday, whatever it may be, it's Jesus' table. Okay? And so we want to make sure that we're not only in the human understanding of God's word, but that we're allowing the Spirit of God to touch and transform our humanity with the supernatural revelation of a difference. Yes, it's capable. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Okay? Not even our own stubbornness. Not even our own deeply rooted in doctrines that God is trying to deliver us from. Come on here. Even if we are able to know, no, and the Father is telling us, no, you're in the knowledge of me. Okay? You've holding your thought captive because you're coming to the table humble. Because you're coming to the table saying, you know, I could be wrong and I'm teachable. And I'm going to give rule and reign for the Spirit of God to touch and transform and deliver me from some strongholds, from some wrong belief systems, from some false belief systems, for some, you know, from an aspect of teaching, but not the fullness of Christ. And so let this point within A, okay, help us in that. When we're looking for the word to help us, like when we're looking for the word, we have to understand that it has to be rightly divided. what I mean by that is it must first be supportive of God's view beyond our human understanding of God's word. Okay? Even if we have to Jeremiah 33:3 it. God, you know the heart. God, you know what I don't know. God, bring me into the realm of understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for, y'all. Okay? Let us have that approach when we go through things, even if we're stuck, which is going to be in part B, all right, in some areas. So we need to make sure that we're rightly dividing the word, not picking and choosing aspects of the word. We need to make sure that the word is in its fullness, not only in the function that we want it to function in according to our opinion, all right? Which means that it must be taken in the full context of the Bible, the totality from Genesis to Revelation. Not just Old Testament, not just New Testament, not just this verse and part A. No, the fullness. Okay, the fullness of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. The scripture supports and defends itself. All right, we shouldn't have to prove what is already written, what is God, the God is saying is sharper than even a double-edged sword that rightly divides. Come on, Hebrews, thank you. Okay, so we have to make sure that we're going to that place with God so that he can pull back our layers so that our approach is in the fullness and in the right viewpoint. He is. All right, he is fully his. All right. Now, let's go into part B. All right, we have to ask ourselves: is my response or reaction an indicator that I'm stuck somewhere, either mentally, emotionally, or spiritually? Because y'all, we can approach these settings and we can have responses and reactions that are derivatives of where. Mentally stuck to where we can't wrap our minds around the hard teaching and where we can't wrap our minds around the spiritual touch of transformation that God is trying to give us for a mindset renewal, for a doctrine deliverance, okay? And so sometimes our mind can be stuck. Sometimes we're emotionally stuck in how we want people to get it, how we want people to understand it, how can't they understand this? How can't they get this revelation? You know, whatever the case may be, we're emotionally attached to the topic, to the issue, to the person, right? Or we can be spiritually stuck, meaning where our walk is with God, we're just stuck. We don't realize it, that we're stuck in our spiritual maturity, in our spiritual walk with God, because we're so rooted in our opinion and in our perspective and how the word may fit into it. Okay? And now, when we get stuck like that, that's not a, oh, man, I'm done. What's going to become of me? No, it's an understanding of two things. One, that when we're stuck or when somebody at the table is stuck mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, it's going to make it hard to get along with them. Okay? It's going to make the table setting and the breaking of bread is going to make it more difficult. It's going to make it more burdensome. It's going to make it more heavy. It's going to make you become more weary because somebody there, if not self, is stuck. And so part two of that is we have to remember that Jesus came for the sick, right? And somewhere within us, sometimes we could still be in some sickness. In viewpoint, we can still have some sick areas and be prodigals because we're roaming in our own opinion. We're roaming from a human understanding of the doctrine. We're roaming. We're roaming in our own aspect of things, in our places where we're stuck, in our own understanding, stuck in our hurt, stuck in our pain, stuck in our perspective, stuck in our beliefs, stuck in some human, like I said earlier, human view of doctrine. And those can become some sick places, right? They can become some sick places within self and anybody at the table, anybody that's at the table with us. And so we have to say, okay, am I reacting rather than wisely responding to properly distinguish the difference of viewpoint? Is my viewpoint only from my hurt? It's my viewpoint only from my pain. It's my viewpoint only from my place where I'm mentally, emotionally, or spiritually stuck. It's my viewpoint only from my perspective based off of my past experiences or how I was raised. Or it's my viewpoint. Come on, come on. It's my doctrine only half and not fullness. Is my doctrine being fitted, or is it being fruitful in the things of God? And see, this is how we are doing and implementing 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's in a series of questions and self-examination that we are destroying the arguments that can possibly be presented when somebody at the table is stuck. It's destroying the arguments and every lofty opinion that can be raised against the knowledge of God that's saying, you know, in that setting that is taking every thought captive that is going on within our minds, that's going on about our fellow brother and sister of Christ, that is going on about our spouse, our coworker, our boss. We're taking that about ourselves. We're taking every thought captive and we're making obedient into the direction that God wants me to grow in. We're taking it obedient in the direction that God wants to disciple and develop and mature us in. Are we catching this? The Spirit of God is saying, catch this, healing honey. Catch this, healing honey from heaven. Catch this, healing oil. Because God wants us to be able to break his bread, not our own bread. Okay? He wants us to break his bread at the table. His bread is what feeds us. He wants us to break his bread, the true knowledge of him, the true direction of him. He wants us to break his bread, to love one another, to live at peace with one another, to not disrupt the flow of fruitfulness at the table because we're stuck. Somebody is stuck somewhere. All right? Now, C, all right, we're at the last one now. Are you tracking with the Spirit of God? We're at C. And C is for those who avoid the breaking of bread due to either personal insecurities or as a result of A and B that was already mentioned. There are some people who really want to come to the table, who really want to glean from the table, who God, and I need for us to check ourselves. Is God talking to you? It's some of us who God is saying, I need for you to come break bread at this table. I need you to come and break bread, but I'm trying not to get to lesson 5, okay? Because lesson 5 will go more into that. But for lesson four, for those who are avoiding the breaking of bread to their own insecurities or due to because you've seen how the burdensome and how it's heavy for people and the contradictions amongst believers, and some people believe one thing, other people believe, you're seeing the personal, you're seeing A and B in action, and you're just saying, I don't even want to be a part of that table. Is that you're avoiding coming to learn and glean more of God? Oh, that's why God is wanting us to get this, because he's saying, I see so many of my people who are bringing themselves to the table and not my true fullness of viewpoint to the table. You're breaking your own bread and not my bread, and it's causing other people to avoid my presence. It's causing other people to avoid coming to glean from me. It's causing other people to abandon the faith. But now, if that's you, okay? But then God is saying it's some people who are avoiding the breaking of bread because of their own insecurities, because they don't feel like they have voice, because they don't feel like, you know, that their voice is significant. And God is saying, hey, every joint is supplied here at this table. What you have to say is also important. Come bring what you have to the table. If you're new in your walk, come bring what you have to the table and get cultivated here, you know. And so what God wants us to understand is we need to break bread with how God views us rather than how other people perceive us. We need to break bread with how God views us rather than how other people perceive us, even how we may perceive ourselves. God is saying identity security is a must at this table so that you don't try to conform yourself into their identity or into that identity or into that identity, but you really stay in the true identity that I have given you, and that you understand that you can trust God. We can trust God with putting the words in our mouth even if we fumble. Even if we fumble, we can trust God with putting the words in our mouth. We can trust God because our brother and sister sitting at the table with me is mature enough, and it is holding their own thought captive in the 2 Corinthians 10:5 in it within themselves and pulling back the layers so that they don't say, oh, did you hear what brother and sister said? said? Did you hear what that brother and sister said? And laugh and mock and make fun of and discourage. No, but that we edify one another, that we sharpen one another. And so we come to the table in this identity of saying, I am a daughter and son of God, and I'm not going to avoid because I'm insecure. I'm not going to avoid because I don't think I have no voice. I'm not going to avoid because I don't understand what y'all talking about. I'm not going to avoid. I'm not going to avoid because some may think I'm an introvert. No, no, no. God is saying, come to the table. Come to the table, because this is the table where brothers and sisters in Christ can sharpen and cultivate and develop, and the Holy Spirit is there to minister, because the perspective is God, and He is our daily bread, the orchestrator of the conversation, the orchestrator of the debate, and how I respond in it, how I show up in it. And so God is asking us today, how do you need to practice responding better, and to whom? How do you need to practice responding better, and to whom? Is it to your spouse? Is it to your supervisor? Is it to your coworker? Is it to your employees? Is it to the Lord Himself? Is it to yourself? How do you need to practice responding better, and to whom? My, my, my. God bless y'all. Thank you for letting the Spirit minister to you for 21 minutes. We'll catch you. I'll catch you in your ear gates. Yeah, we, me and the Holy Spirit, because He leading me, okay? We'll catch you in Lesson 5 next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day.